Blog Talk Radio.
Well, there, this is Greg Inferno again. It is Thursday, February 19th, that's right. It's 9 o'clock here in Wisconsin, Midwest. Kind of cold today. Yes, it is. About 15 degrees. That's cold, all right? I, wasn't expecting that. I thought it was going to be like 40 or something, man. You know, those, what do you call them, people that... That tells you how warm it's going to be. They thought it was going to be 20-something. They lied again. And today's segment, first of all, you know, like I always do, I do a birthday wish. You know, like, happy birthday to those and my MySpace friends and Facebook friends. How about that? If you're one of my friends and tomorrow's your birthday, well, happy birthday. All right, and also my mother-in-law's birthday today. I just remember that. Happy birthday! Here we go! Happy birthday to you. All right, that's enough of that. It gets really annoying. I'd like to get into the topic right now. Today's topic is going to be, there's a lot of topic I'm going to cover. You know, there's like sugar daddies and prostitutions and high school principals, mind reading machine. What else do I have here? Something about in Australia. Something about in, oh, the guy that got, got his leg cut off, was rewarded $2.33 million, and I'll talk about that later on this segment. So, if you want to call in is 347-884-8125, and if you can't get through, try it again, okay? Keep trying until you get through, because kind of somehow it's hard to... able to get through on this number here. Question, is it really prostitution? Having a sugar daddy, that is the reaction many people have when they hear about the increase of women signing up for a sugar daddy. You know, I stumbled into this site called sugardaddyforme.com. And whereas you can if you're good looking, if you think you're good looking, young, and you are looking for, like, you know, let's say 92-year-old boyfriend, like, who can support you to go for, you know, through college and just, you know, to buy stuff for yourself, you know, and then you get a sugar daddy. You can actually sign up there. And this is my opinion on this. This is just nonsense. I mean, you're asking me if the question is it prostitution? Of course, it is. You're trading sexual favors for money. You know, back in the day, whether it be like, you know, you're trading sexual favors for, you know, for goats, for potatoes, it's, you know, that's still prostitution. And there's a lot of, you know, I'm reading through this article, the reason in exchange for maintaining a sexual relationship with wealthy men, girls receive airline tickets, expensive Manhattan apartments, you know, it could be their condos or anything, it doesn't have to be Manhattan, and monthly allowances. They say, what is this all about? All these setups boil down to prostitution. That's what it is. It's prostitution. They're selling their body for some kind of favors. Let's get Don over here on the other line. Is it? I mean, let's help me out on this. Are you there, Don? Yeah, I can't hear you here. Can you hear me now? All right.
Okay.
Yeah, you're loud and clear. We're going to be talking about, I'm asking here, is it prostitution? Is it having a sugar daddy? Because there's a website I, you know, stumble upon. It says just sugardaddyforme.com. And, you know, there's a lot of questions and people commenting on you know, regarding this website and the outcome of it. And they said that, you know, my opinion, I said in my opinion, this is prostitution. You know, it's prostitution. That's what it is. You know, whether it be, you know, you're trading sexual favors for money for anything, and that's prostitution. They said a situation involves, you know, they want to look at the three major components. That's why this is, you know, having sugar daddy. It's so popular because of, one, the economy. They said, given the global financial crisis, people are looking for some economic security, and being kept as more attractive option than ever. That means, you know, this is more like, you know, if you're good looking, you will go, you know, you'll survive. That's what they're trying to say here.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And right now, number two, pop culture or media. I mean, I agree with that. The TV shows like The Real Housewives of Orange County. I've never seen that, but I read an article about that. And they have made this kind of arrangement more visible. You know, the recent, scandals with the governor and New York, you know. They also give an illusion that these the kind of lifestyles are mainstream, that this is okay. You know, like, basically, like, the TV, the media is a kind of glamorize and kind of normalize these things, per se. Like, the movie Pretty Woman, you know, you ever seen that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of, think about it, what's really pertaining to it. That Pretty Woman, I mean, it's a good, you know, kind of movie, per se, but I don't agree with that. You know, it's just kind of like, again, you are okaying in a prostitution. And the number three, it's actually, they say, tradition. And these arrangements have always been around, and it's not unheard of for any European, you know, men in high-powered positions to have mistresses, even in the Bible. I mean, that's something that that they do. If you have some, you know, some power, you have power. You know, like if you're in the office, if you hold any kind of power, somehow, like back in the day, you're allowed to do that. I think, and you know, that doesn't have to be back in the day. I mean, that's you can see that. What was that? Something in Utah or Colorado, and there's one of the churches over there that this guy got caught, marrying. What was that? Marrying a 14-year-old. I think he's in jail now, and so that's my take on it. It's you know, it could be a tradition, but it's still it's prostitution. It's sad. I like when they try to sugarcoat it and saying that they need to consider their motives and stuff. They kind of they blame it on the economy, the pop culture. And I guess the media and, the media and the movies and all that kind of paved the way for telling the girl, people, and this is okay. It's okay to get money from your sugar daddy or sugar mommy. Those people, I know that a lot of guys out there probably have sugar mommy. Sugar mommy! give me something, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. So they, you know, I don't know if they go into a relationship into, you know, and they're ready. What they do is just they swap, just mainly swapped it, sex. I mean, sexual favors. You know, I give you money, you know, you give me something. That's what it is. And it does not, you know, relation does not end. And I mean, it probably do. Hello? Why did they start ringing? Are you there? Yeah. All right, that's weird. Okay. It's not to say, yeah, these days, as even sugar daddies are feeling a pinch of economic downturn. Why my stuff keep ringing over here? Okay. No. I'm sorry about that. Now, yeah, boo-hoo on that one, huh? Yeah, sugar daddy's feeling a pinch in the economy. Yeah. Well, I can't afford any young girlfriend now, so, you know, they blame it on the economy. Unfortunately, they're tightening their expending, you know, in hard times like this. You know, sugar daddies, people trying to find meaning in their lives and figure out what matters most and what they plan the next steps, like picking between brunette or blonde. That's not, that's stupid.
Wow.
Huh?
Yeah, I said wow.
Yeah, that's one of it. So who do we have here? So Dawn, you're back.
Yep, I'm just trying to get somebody else on the line, but it's not working.
Uh-huh.
I'm familiar.
Oh, okay.
I'm not very familiar with three-way, so I keep trying.
Oh, see.
But,
all right.
But yeah, but go ahead. I'm listening.
All right. Yeah, that's all right. And then to me, what's your take on that? Is it prostitution or
like having a sugar daddy, like
I have sugar daddies, sugar mommies, or something like that. You know, I mean, yeah, the whole thing.
Well, if it's just like happens to be some guy is interested in you and it's like monogamous relationship and he happens to have money, I think it's okay. You know, if you guys just like, you know, it's okay once you're married to him, you know.
Well,
yeah,
that's different. Marrying. I'm referring to like sugar daddy. There's actually a website that you can sign up. You know, if you're looking at sugar daddy and if you're looking enough and a wealthy man, well, you know, will sponsor you or will pay you to be, you know, for sexual favors. You know, that's prostitution.
Isn't prostitution illegal? And that sounds like prostitution. So you said they're trying to crack down on that, right?
Well, yeah, but they're trying to sugarcoat that, saying that, no, it's not prostitution.
Like a
dating
website or something.
Some sort, you know,
yeah.
Some sort. But, again, that's and I know a lot of people out there probably, you know, and they're going to say, that would be cool if I'm sugar daddy, you know.
Yeah.
No, it's not cool, you know, because the media, actually, the pop culture has paved the way to normalize and saying it's okay to have to do that, you know, and it's sad. So that's take on that. So what do you think, that, you know, that young girls should do when they are approached?
Approached for what, the website?
When someone approached them, like, you know, like a wealthy man, you know, like a wealthy guy, whatever, an old dude, all right? An old dude approached a young girl and said, hey, I have lots of money. Would you want to live in my mansion, you know, and, you know, I can be your sugar daddy, whatever.
Well, I think that, she should make, like, well, nowadays, you know, people have in America, at least, most people have the ability to, or, like, the choice of choosing who they can marry based on love, and I think that if she says, well, you know, has her conviction, says, if she's old enough to get married, and says, well, you know, get to know the guy first of all, make sure, like, I think that she should think, like, well, what if he lost all his money? Would she still love him? You know, would she still be willing to be with him?
Well,
you know, like, I think that's my advice for young girls. No matter if they're, not trying to talk over you, sorry, but like, even if it wasn't a rich man, I think my advice for young girls would be do you love this person? Like, really?
I don't think the love is going to be in there. If you're being hired as a, you know, whatever the thing you want to do as a prostitute or as a live-in partner, live-in MMS, I think a spiritual notion that, you know, there's no love, there's no string attached, there's not going to be, you know, they can fire you, they can kick you out any time. I mean, that's, you know, I think that's what is already out there. I don't think this girls are signing up to sugardaddyforme.com. I don't think they're, like, looking for so-called, you know, love. I think they're looking for the money.
Well, then I would suggest my advice to them would be don't do it. That's my advice would be to don't do it. I mean,
kind of too late now. It's kind of, you know, to them, that's like a waste to make money. You know,
Right. You know, maybe they I think they should look into our website, shoppingsuperhighway.com, and click on the contact us to find more about unfranchised business, and maybe they can have money of their own and marry for love if they're going to get married.
Because, you know, looks doesn't, you know, they don't last.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's
only my looks that last.
Yeah, you're still sexy.
I am so sexy.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on here, okay? From prostitution to the public high school principal in Ohio. Here we go. A public high school principal in Ohio is trying to take the dirty out of dancing by forcing students who attend school foremost to sign an agreement that they will not, end quote, they will not grind. You know, the dirty dancing grind thing. It's a dance style that the educator says simulates sex on the dance floor. Whoa now. Michael Mayo, a principal of Brunswick High School in Medina County, Ohio, is requiring students to sign a pledge to follow 10 provisions if they are to attend school's winter formal on Saturday. Now, among the provisions, which include a dress code, is that it forbids the students from engaging in writing on the school's dance floor. Okay. They said, quote, they're grinding, they're grubbing, and it's just inappropriate, and we're not going to tolerate that. That's Mr. Mayo told the Fox News and .com. I read this on an article on FoxNews.com. Now, they said if a student violates the agreement, he or she will be forced to leave the dance floor, he added. Mayo said the policy has been in place for quite some time, but it's been difficult for school officials to enforce. And they say we're going to change the enforcement. Any students who is doing that will be removed from the dance immediately, like grinding and dancing, like dirty dancing, what they called. He said his decision to ban that form of dancing has been met with widespread approval from the community, adding that school officials and parents throughout the state have inundated him, can't pronounce that word, with phone calls and emails expressing their support. Now, the principal has acknowledged that ticket sales are down and many students are encouraging their peers not to attend the formal. Mayo said he does not care if it infringes students' freedom of expression. They can do that freedom of speech somewhere else, he said. This is not a forum for it. He said that. My question is, does it include the shuffle? Because if not, I'm not attending. Now, Donna, are you there? Is it too protective, too conservative, or any other options in there? High school principals are actually banning the dirty dancing out on the dance floor, like grinding and, you know, as a form of, according to some dance styles, simulating sex on the dance floor. Like, you know, the grinding and the hip-hop stands nowadays, you know, the partying and stuff like that. And then my question is that, you know, if it doesn't include the shuffle, I'm not attending. Now, my question to you, is it too protective or is it too conservative? What is it? Is it protecting? Is it like, you know, is he violating some kind of, you know, the freedom of expressions or anything like that?
Well, I mean, if you're going to school, you should follow authority and, you know, and I think that that's a good thing that he's doing that. I mean, like, if our kids are like, over there at the dance.
Right.
I don't want some guy grabbing them by the butt, you know, and dancing all up against them. You know what I mean? Like, we got, like, four girls, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, the girl will, if she lets him do that, the girl will give him the impression that she'll go further, and then that will be expectation from him, so that after, you know, I think that will raise the risk of, like, teenage sex and teenage pregnancy and teenage rape, you know,
right.
if at that kind of dance they're doing that. I mean, like, they should just, the prom, if you're talking about the prom, it should be, like, something like, you know, like a gala ball, you know, like a gala ball. I don't know if you ever heard of that, like, but, it's like a ball, you know, they do ballroom dancing, or they do, like, you know, they can still, like, slow dance, but they, you know,
right,
and they do the electric slide and, you know, formal,
right.
Yeah, like, and no bumping and grinding. And I think they should choose the music, too, based upon that. They shouldn't do, like, play the what is that, like, some
right.
Polaroid picture or something, like, song,
right, like,
you know, like, shake it, shake it, shake it. I mean, because, like, well, what do you, you know. So
right.
They shouldn't really play with stuff like that. They should play, like, you know, classical music or, like,
something like this.
From the 70s.
Something like this.
Never mind. Where you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you're doing the shuffle. So, yeah, as long as there's, like, nobody's touching except for during a slow dance. And, you know, the slow dance, you know, kind of like the old days. I kind of like the old days about, you know, where those nuns, you know, they spank on the hand with the ruler if you touch the girl's butt or something.
Right. My opinion on that is, I mean, you know, he does have the power to do that. I mean, it is a formal, you know, dance or get together or whatnot, you know. So, you know, therefore that's gotta be something, some provisions, you know, like he said. I mean, I'm totally in for that. And those, you know, kids that is not going to be attending that because of that, I mean, it's for their own protection, you know?
Yeah.
For their own good. And I don't think it's too protective. I don't think it's too conservative. I don't think it's, you know, your callers might be, or listeners might disagree with me, but, you know, that's what I think, and that's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. So,
yeah.
That's with you.
Exactly.
Now, what about the parents? The overmajority of the parents giving her, you know, giving him a thumbs up and saying, you know, and expressing their support.
Well, that's a good thing. Then if the
right.
parents support it, that's one of the most important things is, like, you know, that they support it. That's very important, you know, that they care about their kids enough and that they appreciate that, you know, that the principal cares about their kids too, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm in for it. I mean, I'll, you know, give them a high five. If I say, yeah, high five in that, you know. Now, he's probably going to be, you know, he's not going to be in any favor, in those kids' favorite, you know. It's like, oh, that's not cool. You know, because the kids nowadays think it's cool to do that because, again, you know, media and the music industry nowadays have paved the way, you know. MTV,
yep.
You know, the dancing on the thing, and their kids think that it's cool. So we need some adults. We need some, you know, with people with authority to say, hey, you know, don't do that. It's not time. This is not time for that, and this is not the place for that. You know, I mean, that's what he said. So, you know, I would agree on that. Okay, we'll go from Ohio to Australia. Let's go to Australia and Queensland. Now, a woman was given emergency first aid by a St. John's ambulance officer. Now, she is actually suing them and said that her treatment was unlawful. It was an unlawful assault. You know, according to the lady, Ms. Camborne, the third court alleges, volunteer medics permanently damaged her shoulder when they rushed to assist her at the Lawrence of Carnival. I think that's where the incident took place. Camborne has launched a legal action against the, you know, those who were involved and wanting compensation. So the incident allegedly took place during a rescue and on the World Life Saving Championships held at Lawrence in February 26th. This is, like, odd news. Now, she claims that to have dislocated her shoulder during one of the events. You know, when they're trying to rescue her, apparently they're trying to rescue her and injure her shoulder and cause permanent damage. And she claims that she have suffered permanently because of her shoulder, and she had an ongoing pain and discomfort, a loss of motion, and a nervous shock. And the settlement's not out there yet. It's still pending. Now, do you think she's going to win? Do you think
Where is this?
That's in Australia.
I don't know what the Australia laws are, but if she was in America, she would probably win. However, the question maybe is not just would she win, but if she, you know, if should she win? You know, I don't think she should win, because if they're trying to rescue her, was her life in danger? I mean, if her life was in danger and they dislocated her.
They didn't go into details on that. Mm-hmm.
If they dislocated her shoulder, is she glad to be alive? Maybe they should let her die. Then she can't, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but I mean, like, we don't want her to die so that she can't sue them. Maybe she just should be happy that she's alive. You know, that's my opinion.
Well, right. And, you know, I mean, it's not just in Australia, not in America. I think it's a worldwide thing now. It's like, you know, they're trying to get something for basically nothing, you know. I mean, those men that try to help her so she won't die. I mean, it's trying to save her life. And now she turned around, and trying to sue him, you know. And it happens, and it happens everywhere. I mean, not just in Australia. So there was no settlement still pending. So I don't think, my opinion, I don't think she's going to win. I mean, you know, even though there's no details on that and how she was treated and all that, but I don't think, you know, I believe those men, you know, those officers are trying to save her life was, you know, they're well trained. I don't think there's no, you know, malpractice
right.
or anything like that. So give and take, I think, I'll just rule it out, and you know that she's not going to win.
Yeah.
Now let's move on from that to another suing from Queen Islands of what is this? Yeah, Australia, going to Manhattan. Okay, the Manhattan man was awarded $2.33 million. Who had lost his leg after drunkenly stumbling onto a path of an oncoming subway train. The guy, whose name is Dustin Dibble, 25, he landed on subway tracks after late night watching a hockey game at the bar with friends this is April of 2006. A downtown N train ran over him and severing his right leg. Now, according to Dibble's lawyer, the NYC, New York City Transit, was responsible for the accident because the subway driver had time to stop the train but did not. The lawyer added that Dibble's drunkenness did not excuse the driver, who said in a court deposition that he mistook Dibble for an inert object. They probably thought he was just like, you know, look at that, a piece of can. So, quote, they don't get a free pass as to why the person was on the tracks. They are trained to be able to look out for people on the tracks. And people are known to be intoxicated by night. That's a lawyer said. And then Dibble's blood alcohol level at the time of the accident was 18, according to his lawyer. More than twice the legal limit has been behind, if he had been behind the wheel of a car. The jury ruled Tuesday that Dibble was 35% responsible for the accident. Therefore, they reduced the compensation by 35%. So, you know, instead of him getting like 3.5 something, or by, no, not even, yeah, something like that, $1 million, now he's only getting, oh, sad, $2.33 million. Question. I mean, can you, like, do you really need your leg? Would you take $2.33 million for your leg?
Yeah.
Would you? You don't need your leg, do you?
Having a leg
you
is
don't need,
nice, you know. But,
well, just a leg. You can skip.
Yeah, he's like, he's, yeah.
We'll change. We'll change your name to Eileen. That's funny.
Yeah, right.
Or we change, or in Japan, Irene. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know, like, about that guy. It is kind of his fault. Why was he even in the train station,
subway? Drunk. The dude is like, came out of the bar, just wasted, and just passed out, landed on the track, and the track ran over him. So they think the jury and all that thing, they think it's 35% his fault, 65%, the transit's fault, because the guy would have a time to stop. So they awarded him $2.3 million. I mean, is it worth it, really?
What do you mean, is it worth it?
I mean, to me, it's just like a lot of people saying, that's could have been more, or $2.33 million, that's kind of, he deserves that, for that. But the thing is, it's his fault, 100% his fault, because he's the one who ordered the drink, he's the one that got drunk, he's the one who went down to the thing, to the subway there, and he's the one that used to be responsible for his own action. He's the one that passed out.
Yeah.
I
think I was going to agree with you at first, and then I'm
right.
He won't drink anymore. He shouldn't drink anymore,
Well,
something else might happen to him. If it was like he wasn't drinking, then I think that the train would have to pay for that. And then, for medical, from the medical standpoint, though, I don't know if $2.33 million is enough if you have to keep going to the doctor for the rest of his life, because, that money's going to run out unless he does something else, because he was drinking, he shouldn't have been in the subway and stuff like that. So I'll go with your opinion.
All right. Yeah, there we go. And, I know people would probably disagree with me, but, hey, that's just sucks because you can't win.
Yeah.
Now, what would you tell me? Would you ask for more? Let's say it happened to you. I mean, you were drunk,
drunk, then I don't think it is my fault. I mean,
drunk,
it would be my fault, because I got drunk and I shouldn't have got drunk,
Right.
And so that's the way it is. But if I wasn't drinking and I fell down and I passed out, then that would be something different. You know what I mean?
If you're sick. Well, let's say if you're anemic or whatever, you're suffering from, if you have diabetes or something, like that guy that passes out, Paul Blart.
Yeah, yeah.
He just passes out randomly, just like because it's low sugar. No, I mean, I can understand that. It's a guy passed out in there, boom, and there he goes, the train. The train is like, saw something there, I mean, he should have stopped. I mean, it's just like, the guy's fault. But currently, with this situation, it's the guy's fault. It's the guy's fault. If the guy's got drunk, this is telling people it's okay to get drunk and it's okay to get, to get drunk and to get wasted and get your leg decapitated, whatever, and get money for it. It's just wrong to me. So now we're going to move on, and I'm going to take a break. So give us a call if you have time. 347-884-8125. This is the Great Inferno Show, and I'm going to pick the song, and whether you like it or not, this is tough luck because it's my show.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name? Would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling.
Welcome back. This is Great FM again. That was Casting Crowns called Who Am I or Who I Am. One of my favorite. Hope you guys like that. And if you don't, you are worse than somebody I know. But we were talking about just, you know, the Manhattan Man who was awarded the $2.33 million for... I mean, train ran him over, okay? Because he was drunk. He fell into the subway, and he was drunk. Dude's name is Dustin Diebel. Apparently landed in the subway track after a late night watching a hockey game. I don't know which hockey game that was, but not like it matters, you know. You know, he's at the bar at Friends. This is 2 years ago, by the way. That's just kind of Paul. It took him 2 years to award him that. It's probably because, I don't know. I'm just reading this article. It's just like, man, I was just kind of appalled by that. But my opinion on that, like I said, is the guy's fault. So, now, getting to my last segment over here is the mind reading machine. Now, the, and actually, let's get Don over here. Don, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah,
thank
okay.
You.
All right. Now, the scientists, now there's a mind reading machine. A scientist, they actually have developed a mind reading technique that lets them peer into someone's head and predict what they are thinking. In the test, they're using the brain scanners. Researchers were able to guess guess correctly which one of the two images a volunteer was thinking about 80% of the time. That's pretty neat, huh? It is the latest in a series of studies designed to show how scans can reveal our innermost thoughts. And the experiments used what they call the fMRI, or functional magnetic resonance imaging scanner, normally found in hospitals. So Dr. Stephanie Harrison, who led the study at Vanderbilt University in Nashville in the U.S., showed six volunteers different patterns on a computer screen while their brains were being monitored. One of the images was of the striped circle with almost horizontal stripes. So while the other was a circle with near vertical stripes, so this is different there, I guess. And as the images were unveiled, different parts of the volunteers' brains lit up. After they had seen both pictures, the group were then asked to remember one of the images. So simply by looking at the pattern of the brain activity, the scientists were able to predict accurately which of the brain activity the scientists were able to predict accurately with the two circles, which one's two circles they are thinking or whatever. So the MRI scanners use powerful magnetic fields and radio waves to detect the flow of blood around the brain. Some experts believe the technology could pave the way for a mind reading device that creates instant images on a screen showing the objects or scenes the subject is thinking or dreaming about. This is like sounds like really scary. Now, you've seen the movie that what Woman Wants, you know, with Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
You know,
so
he can only read women's thought, though, not everyone's. But this is, I think, scientists are saying that this technology could pave the way for a mind reading device. What's your thought on that? Can you read my mind right now? Yeah.
You're hungry?
But,
no, just kidding.
Oh, really? No, that's pretty good. I'm thinking tacos right now.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were thinking.
Wow, you are right.
Yeah, we'll
stop
tacos, huh?
No, I mean, yeah. Would you think? I mean, if they ever create this device, I mean, they will put psychic out of the job, and they won't have a job anymore. I mean. No, you know what I mean? I mean, this is bad. Is this bad for economy?
I don't know what to really think about that. I mean, like, I know that they're doing research, like, even on, like, they have done research with the brain. Actually,
right.
They gave somebody something in a drink, and somehow they were able to monitor what their drink was. They gave people... Yeah, they slipped somebody something in their drink, and by then they were able to monitor their brain pattern of okay, like so they did three different type of people. They did people who like are like monks, you know, and Buddhists that they meditate and they like you know like that, and then they just keep chanting a prayer. They did another person who is like a. Does like a Our Father prayer, you know? So it's kind of like reciting
right.
a prayer. And then
right.
they did another study on Pentecostal people that speak in tongues and that
right.
That worship God you know, mm-hmm. that like that you know that they praise God and things like that. And actually, in those three studies, the Pentecostals that worship God by speaking in other tongues and like you know worship Him by singing and praying and praising God, the front part of their brain all lit up, whereas the other ones, just a little part of their brain lit up. Yeah. So, I mean, there is research out there, but so I don't really know about, like, the images, I mean, like, that they're trying to say, but, well, the word images, I mean, if they're trying to think about what people are thinking, I mean, can they control people's thoughts? That's another thing, you know, like, maybe they'll slip somebody something in their drink to try to control their thoughts, you know what I mean?
Right, maybe. They're talking about, like, you know, the could pave the way. I mean, I think they barely even tap into the brain wave activities or you know researchers are like claiming that you know this is like a first stage, you know, that they're saying this is a first stage we can read on mind. I think this is way far, you know, it's not even there because you know I mean the radio waves of the brain, how you know, and it's complex. There's a lot of, I mean, I don't even know what to say on that, but it's because it's so complex. You know, a computer cannot copy any with the brain activities and how the brain works and how the brain were formed and how it functions. So why, I mean, they're far from it. I believe that there will be. They're going to be able to tap into that. Maybe, you know, read the brains and brain activities and thus reading the, you know, the way of their thinking, of the thinking pattern and stuff like that. But it won't be, like, so clear. They're making it sound like they're going to be able to, like, read it like you're watching a movie. But I think it's going to be, no, that's not even close to that.
Yeah, I think that, like, it could, like, be a new type of, what was that called? Psychics or something? Psychic or something? It could be a new type of that, you know? Like, I mean, first, like, the first step they're trying to see is, like, giving people two images to look at, and then they're trying to, like, evolve to, like, maybe, like, are you thinking of a man? Are you thinking of a woman? Are you thinking of a cat? Without even showing them images, you know? And then they're going to just try to guess. And that can really mess with people, I think. I mean, it can mess with relationships and everything like that. I think that you got to be careful. You know, I think that it could be a new level of psychic eology or something. You know what I mean? Like psychics, but...
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying it's just not, you know, they barely tapped into that because back in the day when...
Yeah.
You know, those, the lie detector tests and all that stuff, the DNA process, you know, and how to detect the DNA and, you know, fingerprintings and yada, 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 and all that stuff. It was all, you know, impossible back in the day. You know, but now it's just like we're over that. So, I mean, if given, like, maybe 10 more years, I believe that we should be able to, like, maybe, like, predict the brain waves and brain activity through the powerful magnetic field that they use on the scanners. So, with that and along with that, I believe you know if they let's say they develop that and it's scary, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
People can you know you have that. Let's say you buy that for like $1,000, the mind reading machine, and all you have to do is point it at people. Or, I mean. I believe that the gods would be against that. It's, you know, that's ungodly. That's what I think.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. I think I agree with you on that because, like, yeah, it can be very dangerous
because yeah,
it's
from
there,
from my
accurate and...
right, and also from mind reading to let's say mind manipulating, you know,
they will
probably tap into that, how they can manipulate your mind, the way you're thinking. I mean,
we're
already being brainwashed as it is, you know.
Well, everybody's
brainwashed. Right, but we're being brainwashed to, you know, get out there and get a job, and job is the only thing to make money, and you know, the school system, the government's actively, you know, they brainwash you for that. I mean, I believe that's a part of brainwashing.
Well, yeah, yeah. Everybody's brainwashed. I think that if your brain, you know, if you don't go to church because you think that you don't need church, you're washing your brain with some kind of water that's not pure water, you know. And if you, you know, going to church and learning more about God, you're trying to get cleaner, you're trying to wash your brain, you know, to have cleaner thoughts. And I think that, like, if you decide to have your own non-franchise business or own your own business, you know, you want to be one of the 5 rich people out of 100, you know. You want to be one of those people. So you start washing your brain with those kind of things that you need to wash your brain with. And I think the people that get a job because they think that's the only way, and then they're washing their brain like that they have to be a servant, a voluntary servant, you know, which is okay to be a servant, you know, but if that servanthood is taking place of making it where you can't go to church, you can't spend time with your family, you can't, you know, go where you want to go. I mean, well, you know, you shouldn't go places God don't want you to go. But, you know, if it's making you, like, if you want to go on a vacation for 5 days and they're like, nope, you can only go for 2 days, you know, it's like, that's not good. That puts you into, like, a bondage, you know, that, hey, I have to choose between keeping a roof over our house or spending time with my family for an extra 3 days, you know, and it's like, you know, you really need to wash your brain to see if there's something better for you, so you can still have financial freedom, you know, be able to give more to the Lord, be able to spend time with your family, you know, and be able to go, like, if the Lord wants you to go to Hawaii or, you know, and you don't have to worry about finding a job there if you have money coming in from somewhere else, you know, so my husband and I, that's why we own our own unfranchised business. It's like our website, shoppingsuperhighway.com, because, you know, we homeschool, and that's like homeschooling kind of falls in line with our home-based business because it gives us time freedom and, you know, and opportunity for financial freedom, you know what I mean? And so, and we definitely want to be able to give more to the Lord, and we want to be able to travel. And so yeah, I think that everybody washes their brain. It's just with the matter of what they're washing with, clean stuff or dirty stuff, you know, or in-between stuff, you know.
Wow, yeah.
That's what I think.
That's pretty deep. That's deep.
Thank you.
That's neat.
Thank you.
That's neat. So I lost my notes here. Oh, yeah, the mind-reading machine thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of scary if you're going from mind-reading and then, let's say, they develop that, and they would develop the mind manipulating or mind brainwashing stuff, and it's against, you know, against my theory, I mean, against my beliefs, you know, my fundamental beliefs. But now I think we are going for a landing right now, so we are going to say goodbye. So, Don, what's your last thought?
I think that my advice would be for anybody out there thinking about getting married, and for girls, I would suggest that, like, would you love that guy would you love him no matter what he did? Would you be willing to stick with him whether he has millions or if he lost everything, you know? And I think that would be my advice for girls out there that's thinking about getting married, you know, whether they're 12 years old and they're thinking about getting married when they're 18 or, you know, or if they're like 30 years old and never been married and they're thinking about getting married, that's my advice for them. And if you're a woman, like woman that's divorced from a husband, I would say stay single. Don't go out with guys because then that will give God opportunity to reconcile marriage. That's my website is my husband and I. Website is shopinsuperhighway.com, and pretty much anything that you need, you can find there, except for real estate. Thank you. Bye.
All right, that's it for today. And next stop, probably we're gonna try to do a show again before the 24th, and check back with us again at blogtalkradio.com/RadioInferno.